April 18, 2018. It's a lot from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. And Pedro, but now with Brother Matt, because he's indisposed once again. They promised me next week he'll be here. I'm not man totally alone, though, because the great cats in Estonia who cooked up this Skype software joining me from... You're in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Brooklyn. It's Brandon Sieber. Welcome aboard.
Great to be aboard.
Okay, and we started the show off with John Coltrane and Miles Davis. Mm. Last tour they did together in 1960 in Europe. I think his first Europe tour for Miles Davis. 1960, like I said, All of You, which is a great standard that they reinterpreted. After this, John Coltrane went off to make his own band. We got to thank Brother Stevie Bono for making this connect. And he sings your praises very high.
Oh, man. I love it.
You know, I'm just interested to have anybody with a journey through music because they're all different and they're all unique. So let's start with yours, Well, you tell me, Brandon, what's your earliest musical recollection?
My earliest recollection has to be with the huge stereo system and record collection of my parents that sat in our living room. I mean, this thing was this. It wasn't one of those really big pieces of furniture from the 60s or so. It was like a late 70s Sylvania record player. And, you know, I just dove into the collection.
Town was this, Brandon?
This was like, for me, it's like 1982.
No, but what town?
Oh, Foxborough, Mass.
Oh, okay.
Southeastern Massachusetts.
Sure. I ain't got to play there, but I have driven through.
You've driven through I-95.
I-95, yeah.
Route 95.
Yeah, you know it. So in the pad, there's a big stereo, and that's your first music. I guess it's their record collection, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a big collection, but there was some just an amalgam of stuff in there, like Gustav Holst, The Planets, Robert Gordon, Link Wray.
Wow.
Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some Beatles, some solo Beatles, old Elvis, just kind of all this stuff.
Brandon, so, was there instruments in the house or were they just listeners?
No, just listeners, no instruments.
That's all right. I'm just curious. So, can you remember the first record that you bought yourself for you?
Oh, yeah. I bought it at Good Vibrations. I bought Motley Crue, Theater of Pain.
Oh, not Good Vibrations. I was thinking of that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Not the real Good Vibrations. The record store.
The Theremin one.
yeah. Not the Theremin one. I bought Motley Crue. You know, that's when I went off on my own with music, it went there. You know, okay. 1985. That's what came first.
Nikki Sixx's band.
Brandon,
what was the first gig that you went to?
The first gig that I went to was in Boston. It was The Fringe. George Garzon on saxophone, Bob Gilotti on drums, and John Lockwood on bass. That was the first up-close, real live gig that I went to that I sat like really close, really felt the music. I mean, my first gig that I went to was a big... Well, actually...
No, just a gig. Big, small. They all mean the same to me. In fact, I started off with big ones, and I found out they were lame.
I know. My first big one, how could I forget this, went right in line with Motley Crue. It was Dokken.
Oh, from here. That's actually Redondo Beach, not far from here.
Yeah, they recorded Under Lock and Key in Redondo Beach.
Yeah, well, Total Access.
Total Access, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I actually did some Unknown Instructor records there. Minuteman Project Mersch was done there with Joe Carducci and Ethan James. But I also got to meet a great cat from upstate New York, Ronnie James Dio, and had a big rap with him. Oh, yeah, he was recording with some young guys, and he was just the best cat. But anyway, I heard about the Dokken guy. I think he's playing with some rappers and kind of doing a Limp Bizkit thing or something now.
Oh yeah, I bet. I haven't kept up, but
yeah. Well, I accidentally stumbled onto that info. Now, I'm curious. At school, did you have music?
Yeah. I had the great fortune of going to, in my town, there was a great music program at the high school. Amazing. Okay. Big band, combo, concert band, wind ensemble. It was led by this guy, Stephen C. Massey, who just retired. But man, he exposed us to a lot of repertoire, lots of music.
And what were you playing?
I was playing guitar in the jazz band.
Oh, and really? Okay.
In the concert band, I was in the percussion section.
Okay.
Which I thought was going to be easy because you had to be in all of the groups to play in the jazz band.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's where I was really at. I wanted to play guitar and improvise, but you had to be able to be in the other.
Sure, and they don't have guitars, yeah.
Okay. So I said, well, I'll just play drums because my brother plays drums and there's drums at the house, and I'll get into that. So, you know, it was really challenging playing suspended cymbal or, you know, crash cymbal or triangle. You have to count, you know.
Sure, be in the right place at the right time.
In the right place.
Now, Brandon. You didn't tell me how you got on guitar.
Oh, well, I got on guitar. Probably it was a visual thing, you know? It was probably MTV.
How old? Young?
Like eight, seven okay. or eight. Probably first through Jimmy
Hendrix. No, I can understand visual things. I remember me and Nady Housen with my friends. We had baseball bats and we just lip-synced to a record.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I had a sword, I think, that I used as a guitar, lip syncing to, you know, classic rock is, you know, that was how I got into it. So it was okay. Hendrix. My parents had a Are You Experienced mono copy in the collection, so that was on. Yeah, it was Hendrix, and then it was visual, you know, Van Halen, MTV, and then it was you guys, and then after that, you know.
When did you get your first guitar?
Oh, yeah, 85, 84, 9 years
what,
old.
What, was it like a gift?
You went
and bought it yourself. You worked for it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I asked about the gift thing because usually there's a stipulation I found out. Like, we're going to get you this guitar, but you're going to have to take lessons. Now, what did you do, man?
I was ready. I took lessons. I was into it. I was ready to learn. I was ready to take it. But the one moment that really changed everything is I had a little PV practice amp.
Sure.
And I really couldn't get it to sound the way I was hearing it in my head.
Yeah.
And one day at the music shop before my lesson, I saw the dude who ran the store demonstrating the same amp to a customer. And he said, when you pull out this blue knob, you get a distorted sound. And I saw that. And I ran home. I pulled out the blue knob, and that was it. I mean,
it was epiphany. It was an epiphany.
Yeah, that was it. And I was like, oh, man.
Here, I want to play Lord Clusters. I forgot to say that after John Coltrane and Miles Davis at the beginning of the show, we heard Lamborghini Helicopter, something live you did with your Seabrook power plant. This is called Lord Clusters, and the credit you gave me was Seabrook Solo, but I actually found some kind of band name, a strange band name.
Oh, for this? Oh, well, this is a song on a solo record I did called Sylphid Vitalizers.
Yeah, that's not a name of my band, huh? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's just the name of the album. And this, okay. Actually, you know, I picked up the banjo years ago, and this song is...
Oh, no, we're going to get to banjo. We're going to get to banjo. Let's play this music. Thank you.
Take your hand off my hand.
Pedro Show. Yeah, that was Lurid Clusters by Seabrook Solo. After that, brand new from Zill, Take Your Hand Off My Hand, Snooze in Motion out of Croatia with Shadow. The Verms Di Limbo. God damn it. The phone's ringing. These guys are out of Brazil. It's my mom. Damn it. Then after that we had Vermes de Limbo. Do Limbo is Portuguese, sorry. And Petra Hayden with Hand Covers Bruise. And finally, Di Promo Fatale, Abscessed Pettifogger.
Nice. I guess
that's the fatal drum or something.
Yeah.
So, Ma, I'm doing my radio show. Can you call back? Okay, Ma. Yeah, I'll do your water, Ma, but hold on, okay? Huh? Okay, Ma. Okay, that's my mom. I got to see her when we get done with this.
Is she in Pedro still?
She's in Pedro. Believe me, I wouldn't be going to put her water bottle in if it wasn't in Pedro. Okay, so get back to where we are. We found the blue knob on the PD, so it's a whole other world for you. Same with me and D-Boone. We didn't know how they got them sounds on the records. When we had our little pawn shop amps and guitars, we didn't know. We saw it was some kind of studio gimmickry, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what do you do when... I'm interested to also on your lessons. Now, what we did, we asked the guy who was teaching us, hey, please show us songs off records.
Yes.
You did the same thing. Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah, I look back on that now, and I think it was retarded because we should have been writing our own songs right from the beginning.
Exactly.
That was the culture of the time.
I wish I came to that a lot earlier.
Yeah, now, so you're man alone, just studying, trying to get your thing, find your voice on the guitar. When did you start playing with other people?
I started playing with other people around 12 or 13.
My friend
Scott Greeter, Mike Cassaway, my buddies down the street, we just started playing blues. And we would play for hours, and we'd record it, and then we'd listen back. So we'd play for 3 hours, and then we'd listen back to the tape for three hours. And then we would do this. That was the best learning experience. We did this for a lot of years, during those formative years.
Sure.
So playing.
And what kind of blues? Was this like Deep Roots blues or just your guys' idea of the blues?
It was like rock and roll blues. It was like Little Richard, Chuck Berry, and then, you know, maybe a little bit more of the hard rock blues.
Or boogie. So like, what they used to call boogie, which was like Foghat or Savoy Brown.
Foghat.
Budgie.
Definitely.
Yeah, right.
The 70s stuff, yeah.
Okay. And how, did you guys have a name? Did you do gigs?
Yeah, we did gigs. We booked gigs. We had a name. We were The Reaction.
Wow. Me and D-Boone had a band called The Reactionaries.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, very
close.
That
was it. That was your first band, right?
Well, first punk band.
First punk.
Yeah. We had something called Bright Orange Band when we were in your age then, teenage, junior high school, but no original songs.
Right,
Not till Reactionaries. And those are the first batch of songs I wrote. D-Boo wouldn't write for that band. He only joined that band for me, you know.
Oh, nice.
So the real band in his mind was going to be the Minutemen, which was next, which I didn't know at the time. I didn't know at the time. So did the Reaction ever record?
We recorded a couple of cassettes, and we started writing our own songs in the vein of, like, you know, 70s boogie, classic rock.
Yeah.
But we had like 5 originals and, you know, 35 or 40 cover tunes. And we booked our own gigs. And
Can you remember the first gig you did?
We did a party in a basement, you know. But this is like, you know, teenage. This is the suburbs of southeastern Mass.
Sure.
You know, teenagers playing a gig. But it was fun.
You know, somebody once told me, Brandon, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at.
Yeah.
Okay. So nobody picks, right? Nobody picks where they're from. So
right.
What was that first gig like?
It was great. We pulled it off. It was. I always remember that feeling. You know, we rehearsed for a long time, and we did it. We pulled it off. We played.
You rehearsed. You didn't practice. You know, I've yet to hear a basketball player saying, "I'm going down to the hoops and rehearse." Why are musicians afraid of this P word, practice?
I know. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe they don't want to face themselves. It's
they want to be like with the A word, actor, right?
Okay. Actor.
So how long does this reaction go?
Maybe 2 or 3 years.
So next phase, you're in high school.
Next phase, I'm in high school, and then I'm getting into punk rock at this point. You know, I found you guys, and then that led to a lot of other things. And then my next band was a little bit more. We were writing all our own songs, no covers.
Okay.
No covers, all original material, all rehearsed, all worked out. It was
what
in
were
the same
they called?
Area, but it was a different group of people.
Yeah, what were they called?
That was called Six Dancing Women.
Yeah, great name.
And then, you know, I think I sent a couple cassettes to one of the SST addresses. I forget. The
P.O.
Lawndale.
Box 1, Lawndale. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I sent a couple of tapes to the Lawndale P.O. Box.
926.
Yeah, I was, you know, high hopes. But anyway, so we were really influenced by what was going on in your area and trying to get that energy happening. And, you know, I think the first one I got was Politics of Time of you guys.
Did you ever go to the Channel or the Rat?
I never went to the Channel. You guys played there?
Many times, both places.
Many times. You know, I never got there.
That's okay.
I wasn't quite old enough or on the scene enough to, like, get to those places at that time.
Okay.
You know, this is like, I'm coming to this stuff in, like, 92 or 3. So I think the Rat may have been gone.
Yeah, it was. So was Channel.
The Channel was
gone. Yeah, we're
gone.
Talking more early 80s, yeah.
Early 80s, yes. Yeah, I was only like 5 or 6.
Okay. Okay, so Six Dancing Women, what happens? You guys...
Yeah, what happens? We're pretty prolific. We make three albums over the span of 2 or 3 years.
Did you tour?
No. Okay. We didn't tour. We weren't really hooked into that. This is still teenage, so we're not rebellious enough to go out. We're not quite at that level.
And
we're not quite ready to break out. So we're just playing gigs around.
Sure.
Gigs. We're pracking. We're playing gigs. We're doing stuff. We're recording. We're writing material. You know.
And how long does this go?
This goes for about three or four years, and then we go off and do our own things, and then. I go to music school.
Where?
To get serious.
Where? Massachusetts, Berkeley, right?
Yeah, no, I went to Philadelphia, University of the Arts, for a year.
Okay.
And went back to Boston, to New England Conservatory.
Okay.
Finished out there. Learned a lot. Saw a lot of shows. Played with a lot of people. Then... You know, stayed around Boston for a while, and then.
Why are you doing that school stuff? Were you part of any bands?
I was part of a lot of projects at with school and outside, but I really wasn't in. It wasn't a time for bands.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean? Like
you were school.
I wasn't hitting it with anybody really hard at that point, except students and. Yeah, it was like sort of like a going away for a while.
Like, did you have a mentor? Did you have one at Philly? Did you have one there?
I had one in Boston. I had Bob Moses.
Okay, Bob Moses.
You know the drummer?
Oh, I've heard of him. I don't know him.
Heard of? Yeah, I had him as a mentor, and also Mick Goodrick, guitarist.
Yeah, I've heard of him too.
They were short. They were short things, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, but they really left. Really, really informative and inspiring.
Yeah, those things can be very important.
I still think about that stuff a lot. You know, even that we spent such a short time together, but I still think about what those guys taught me and.
And remember, you're also at an impressionable stage of your playing too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bob Moses is a wild man, and he really pushed me to get, you know, to let go. And it's hard that when you're trying to deal with technical stuff. And
well, I think too the challenge is, you know, institutionalized learning.
Yeah,
there's nothing bad with that, but on the other side, there's the struggle to find your own voice, and so it's this tricky kind of balance in that.
Yeah, and he helped me. He really helped me get to my own voice. I think I think without him, I don't know, or you know, and Mick Goodrick, you know, those guys were really. There was also this guy there, Bevan Manson, who I think is out in L.A. now. He teaches out there. Many people know him as a player, but he really pushed me to get in touch with the physical side, get, you know,
further.
Onward. Yeah, because when I first started music, it was all about physical. It was all about the body. It was all about going for it. It was all, but then, you know, when school came, it changed a little bit.
Cerebral. Okay, we're at the end of the first hour, April 18th, 2018 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Brandon Seabrook. Hold tight for hour two. April 18th, 2018. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
looking to these eyes onto his hands is being upset. They will be get worried, I know they're upset. So cry, this is something wrong. When they know heart attack, when the life of my love how to cry, when they cry, has been so lonely, when they sad becomes before so blues, when they look like this, but be nothing they will be about bad feeling. Looking so strange about their upset, so cry. Rubbing their eyes, I know they're crying about. This is something wrong. When they know heart attack, when a life of my love how to cry, when they cry has been so lonely, when they sad becomes before so blues, when they look like this, but be nothing they will be about. This is something wrong. When they know heart attack, when a life of my love how to cry, when they cry. They look like this, but be nothing they will be about. Bad feeling, bad feeling, bad feeling. Thank you.
Yeah, the יישארו ברחם הדלוק של הנעורים, במי השפיר של השלכת הקדושה. מחר תפרוץ מלחמה, מישהו יחווה את המוזיקה וידליק את הלילה. שמרו נפשותיכם. אתם בסך כל גוף שעלול להיפצע ולהיוותר שרוע בפינת הגן, מאחורי אבן גדולה, חשוף למוות, עד שמישהו ימצא אתכם.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro. Shall we start off the second hour with Needle Driver doing Entropic Vacuum Party? Then Daniel Wakeford out of Brighton with Bad Feeling. Brother Sam helping him out. 1518 out of Italy with Amore di Terrorismo. Moldoman out of Baltimore with Silo B. Same thing, I guess. And B. Jones. Poofs on. Actually, he's from West Mass, going back. Jelly Air. Yeah, Matt Jones. Good buddies with Bob Fay and John Maloney and those cats. Farther south from Tel Aviv, that was the Bottom Line. Schizophonics, had him on the show last week out of San Diego with the train. Got to play with him too. Wild. Found out that David from Catskin's on bass now. That's why there was only two people on my show. I was wondering where the bass man was. He got scissored or something. Then Seabrook Solo again. Mucoidal Wool Gathering. That's quite a title. Now, what's the difference? What's Needle Driver?
Needle Driver is the last record I put out. It's with drummer Allison Miller and bass man Johnny DeBlaze. And that's a trio that I've had for a bunch of years now. And we worked on that material for about 4 years before we recorded it. It's pretty composed, pretty worked out. We worked really hard on that. We recorded it with Martin Beesey here.
Oh, yeah. In that studio when the control room was where you recorded, I was with the Sonic Youths doing Evil, and they had me play.
In fact, it was the first bass that I
did after D. Boone got killed. I didn't want to play anymore. I didn't think people wanted to hear me.
And Martin was
a great guy, man. And of course, the Sonic Youths, great people.
I remember it well.
Yeah, it was a hard time for me then. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So this is the most contemporary. So then we kind of like... Leapfrog. So let's get back. You're getting out of school in Massachusetts there. You're getting done with music school.
I'm done.
Okay. And so where do you go? You go to the city, New York City?
Yeah. I come to New York and, I just start meeting people here and just start getting into it, start playing. It took me a while to have my own groups. It took a while. It just took a few years, and then I started to kind of get the confidence together. I don't know why I lost it, because I had always done my own stuff. But, sometimes that happens.
Is that where the Tromo Fatale comes in?
No, that's also a recent group, too.
Oh, okay.
I put two albums out last year, The Needle Driver and De Tromo Fatale. So those are the most contemporary.
So Seabrook Power Plant. Yeah, okay.
Seabrook Power Plant is my first band that I get going in New York.
Yeah, and you got a stand-up guy, right, on bass?
Stand-up guy, Tom Blankart. He's on, like, an electric stand-up, and I have my brother, Jared Seabrook, on drums.
Okay.
So we start hitting it hard. Oh, yeah, my brother
Is he older brother or younger?
He's younger. We grew up playing and listening to records, together forever. So we had that connection.
Yeah, like Tom and John Fogerty.
Yeah.
No, you don't want that connection. They ended up hating each other.
That's right.
Well, I think John took his brother's band.
Right.
Depending on who you believe. But, okay. And is it, at this time, do you, like, explore the banjo?
That's what I needed an outlet for the banjo.
How'd you stumble onto the banjo?
I stumbled onto the banjo in music school. There was a band called the Klezmer Conservatory Band.
Ah, Klezmer. Great music.
It did Klezmer rap, and I kind of got into that.
God, I always think of Klezmer like clarinet for some reason.
It is. But when it came to the U.S. in the 20s and 30s, used the tenor. They used the banjo as a percussion instrument.
Sure, that makes good sense. Yeah.
Sort of take it from the jazz and Dixieland that was happening at the time. They adopted that kind of instrumentation. I think that's when the trombone came in, but the clarinet was the main instrument in clarinet.
And if you think about the Middle East and stuff, those kind of horns that were going on, that's probably the closest thing. Look, I want to play something here from De Tromo Fatale, this Emotional Cleavage.
Yeah.
I guess you guys made a video for it. Let's listen. Thank you.
Life's a drag if you do it right. Sleep all day. a number of bits against the four play, I suppose. It's a bit of a letdown, but it's not as about putting your bet down. You think you're beautiful, I think you're visible, wholeheartedly embracing the ritual. It's my nature to be perfectly cynical. It's your look to be the butt of my ridicule. Let's face it. Let's face it. Let's face it.
Pedro Show, Emotional Cleavage from De Tromo Fatale. Tips after that from DMF at Orange County. The Vandal Poets, I think that's Ohio, Midwest, with Dysentery. It's a, only a demo, people, still going to be developed. Salo Acobada, which is Brother Koya's band in the early 80s, out of the former Yugoslavia. Well, it was Yugoslavia in those days. No, it's not. Sadse Jasno Vidi and Spice Pistols out of San Diego here. Life's a Drag, brand new. Twisted Noise Association and Mint One. That's a guitarist from Pedro here. Who just passed away, and he made this a demo like 10 years ago, and Brother Phil turned me on to that. Yeah, in your own town, shit going on, and you don't even know about it. What? Pull his head out of his ass. Well, you know, you know who's from Pedro that I know is that R&B singer, Miguel.
Really?
Incredible singer. He's Pedro. And I fucking I just found out. Then Rooster Head out Inglewood with the Game Replacement. Blanks, White Baby, that's Chris Kirkwood produced that. Out of Arizona. And finally, Black Sheep Squadron. Seabrook Power Plant. There's some jamming ass guitar on that. So, the Seabrook Power Plant. Who is on the drums in that band?
That's my brother. That's Jared.
Okay, he was in that one too. Okay. The bass men are different then.
The bass men on the Tromo Fatale and Seabrook Power Plant are different.
Yeah, okay.
I have different bass men in each band.
But you like the stand-ups, right?
Yeah, well, Needle Driver is electric, but I like both. I mean, Power Plant is an electric upright.
URB, right? They call them URBs?
Yeah, that's not totally acoustic, but...
It's a lot easier to carry around.
Yeah. But I like stand-ups.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're great. I tried it.
You have?
I did a 45 for Kill Rock Stars called Lil Pit. Because, you know, I had to learn it if I was going to record with it. But it was it kicked my ass too hard.
Yeah.
Especially the muscles on the front of the left hand. Yeah, because you have to turn your hand. I'm used to sideways, you know, that up and down. Whoa. I think I could get to it maybe if I work, but I also got, you know, possible joint problems and stuff, you know, so I don't want to, you know, it's just, I have to run away to fight another day.
Right.
Play the bass guitar. You know, I had to move to short scales. Those are 41 inch, you know, and we're the 3/4. The classical Europe guys are even bigger. But I even, for gigs on electric bass, had to move to small 30-inch scales. I recorded with big ones.
I saw your new bass. It looks great. The new...
Oh, the Watt Flower? Yeah, people out of Toledo worked with me many years. They were very kind to come up with that baby. Because I kept saying, whoa, thank you very much. And they said, well, how can we change? And they kept working with me. That was beautiful of them. But, you know, if you want to stay in this thing and your body is just... You know, I think you have to adapt better than hurt yourself or having to get out of the ring. So,
You can't get out.
Yeah, you don't want to get out of the ring. If anything, get thrown over the ropes, but don't leap. don't throw in the town. Right? And have you ever had physical problems?
Oh yeah, I just had. Yeah, you know, I've had to change my approach to when I'm off stage. You know, sometimes I get into playing at home too much, practicing things, writing things, you know, and not paying attention to warming up or how much I've done. I've had elbow problems, and just last week I had a problem in my left hand for the first time. So, yeah, it's all about moderation and stretching now for me and building some strength, you know.
Yeah. I just can't.
So if I do that, I'm okay. But if I throw myself,
you gotta listen to your body. Your body's trying to tell you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's part of the journey, right? Part of the journey.
I hope I'm doing it like you are when I'm.
When things start to hurt, I change. That's why. I just change. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 18th, 2018. Just Walk Pedro Show. Special guest Brandon Seabrook. Hold tight for hour 3. April 18th, 2018. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Don't you care? Relatives are assholes. Sorry, but it is a real crapshoot. Love divided by anger, a lot of bullshit. How petty is that? Strangers are cool. They will not fuck with you. Relatives feel that they are privileged. Tossing aside any decency, right to the vulnerability. Thanks a lot. Do I know you? And hey, what gives you the right to shoot me down? Take a good look at yourself and give me a break. How long can your problems go on? You are relentless in your criticism. I am really okay. Cheerfulness, help, and love are wasted on you. Try giving my time back. Explanations are simple. Try getting it. I am so tired. Fuck you. Thank you.
What for Pedro show. Started off the third hour with Needle Driver doing Ocular Rabies. And then Jack out of OC with Manic Low doing Broke Up. Stick Sellers upstate New York. Brother Sam there. There's Broken World. Joe Brewer out of Madison, Wisconsin. With The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Ghost Car. I think, the Panhandle, Texas. Gates. And finally, Seabrook String Trio.
Oh.
Bovicidal,
yeah.
Bovicidal. Like bovine, like cow, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you haven't talked about the Seabrook String Trio.
Well, this is my latest. Our record comes out in September.
So this is even more contemporary than the last two. Okay.
Yeah. It's coming out soon, and it's my latest group. I wanted to get it down to the strings. You know, all my groups are with drums.
Yeah.
Fatale has two drummers. Everything's...
Your brother gets your scissors.
Yeah. Wanted to get rid of the drums and get down to the strings. But we all have a physical, rhythmic approach, so...
It's a trio. So you're on the guitar or what, banjo?
I'm on guitar.
Okay.
I'm on guitar. Henry Frazier is a great bass player.
Sure, sure.
Younger guy, upright bass, stand-up bass man. And Daniel Levin is on the cello.
Wow. Cello's got quite a range. Wow.
Yeah.
Cello's incredible because...
Cello is incredible. And I don't know if...
The only lame thing that I find is the way you got to play it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stand up with it. But that's okay. That's okay. So, actually an idea drove this. Right? You wanted to do something without drums. You guys keep your own time.
We keep our own time and our time, and it's really flexible, and it can be really tight.
Also, the band gets all rubato and stuff.
It can get rubato, but even in time, even when we're playing in time, I can speed up and the cello can slow down and the bass can
like the Stravinsky
stay the
stuff.
Same,
yeah.
And we're still connected, you know.
The Rite of Spring stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
It's balls out to play. But yeah. Okay, so you guys are kind of building your own vocabulary.
We are.
That's great.
You know,
I can't wait to hear it when it comes out.
Yes.
Now, one thing we didn't talk about, I mean, we talked a little about, but you said you were too young. Touring. You never really toured, right? You went to the city?
I went to the city, and then I did some touring as a sideman in other people's bands.
Ah, okay.
I've done a good amount of that over the years.
No, I think that's important. Right? You can't give direction if you don't learn to take direction.
Yeah, I learned a lot from that. Like what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go, when to go. I mean...
Sure.
So, you know, this String Trio will be doing some touring in the fall. And
what about this Pooperfection?
Pooperfection.
Yeah.
Did you play that one?
This tune. Tell us the story.
The story on this tune. It came to mind as working with Dynamics. You know, I wanted something that was really had the scope of of really free, really really tight, really aggressive. You know, it's pretty simple. So we were able to.
But when I hear Dynamics, I'm thinking like. You know, piano, forte.
I really wanted to exaggerate those.
No, you know, especially for gigs. If you want to get people to fucking listen, bring that vocabulary to the fucking table.
Thank you. 1831, 2,000 men gathered with guns. They walked and stalked for 60 days. Failure, the black line. Governor Arthur, what did you think? These people, they cannot be trapped. George Augustus Robinson, you are of your time. This is a song about history. This is a song about the dear country. This is a song about history. From where I come, in 1833, 200 Palo where they came. Wybalina was their home. Treaty they had signed. In 1847, 47 remained. To Oyster Cove they were returned, shattered, homeless, without clothes. This is a song about history. This is a song about my dear country. This is a song about history. From where I come. In 1975, I was taught a blatant lie. Trigonini now was gone. Culture, it had died. They lied. Manligana, I think of you. Warraday, I think of you. Walt Arthur, Mary Arthur, I think of you. From where I come. This is a song about history. This is a song about my dear country. This is a song about history. From where I come, from where I come.
Shh, 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 shh.
Last music for this edition, the Seabrook String Trio doing Pluperfection. And we were talking off air about the big focus on this tune for Brandon was dynamics, because he went and saw my missing man do third opera at the Bell House with the Light Brothers from Tokyo, and he liked that. So,
it was amazing. It really was.
It takes so long, and you know that you don't realize that that's actually, because I think when we're learning, it's like, oh, soft means slower and loud means faster. No, they're completely independent.
Completely.
But you know, you got to live a life to learn that, maybe.
Yeah.
Then we had John S. Williams, Australia, doing From Where I Come From, Four Dimensional Nightmare out of the Northwest. Seattle, I think. Dark Matter, Dark Energy. Evil Hearted You out of here, East L.A., with Untitled Misery Song. And finally, De Tromo Fatale, Shamans Never RSVP. Yeah. I guess they don't feel they have to.
They don't really
give a goddamn.
They don't even know what that is, but I thought
yes. Beyond them or beneath them.
Beneath.
Yeah, what was his name? The Count of Fives. Brandon? Bernard? He wrote this great book. It's called Zen Without Zen Masters. Just a second.
Ah.
Look at his name.
I don't know it.
Camden Bernard's.
Zen Without Zen Masters?
It was called Zen Without Zen Masters by Camden Bernard's. And this guy was a group of people in the 60s called Discordians. And it was started by two guys, Greg Hill and Kerry Thornley, out of Whittier, out of some bowling alley when they were teenagers.
That's where Nixon is from,
and,
right?
it's crazier than that. Kerry Thornley actually served in the Marines with Lee Harvey Oswald.
Wow.
And he come up with this thing called the Principia Discordia. This thing, only 5 copies, the first one, but it was mimeographed. Mr. Garrison there in New Orleans, who tried to persecute Kerry Thornley as one of his, the JFK. It gets crazy. There's a... God, what's his name? God Rightly or something? There's an author. Adam God Rightly or something. Sorry for that puke noise. Yeah, he wrote a book called The Prankster and the Counterculture. And it's just trippy about humans and their connections. But the Discordians, the Principia Discordia, you can come to MikeWatt.com because they refused all copyright. It's all over the place. And it's... They're into this lady called Eris, right? The Greeks, god of chaos, goddess.
Ah.
Anyway, that's where some of that comes from. I didn't mean to eat into your time. So you guys are gonna.
I like that. Look into that. I don't know it.
A lot of cats don't. It was a very small group of people, but sort of like the Beat people, the big influence. Like the Beat told me about. Yeah, there weren't many of them, but they talked loud, Mike.
Right.
By the way, his birthday's coming up, Big. Happy birthday come up around. It's around the record store day.
Nice.
Which is coming up Friday. Now, for you, your next plan, you guys are going to put this record out in September, and then you're going to tour. Where can people find you, Brandon, on the internet?
You can find me on Bandcamp.
Okay.
You know, Brandon Seabrook. You can find me at brandseabrook.com.
That's BrandonSeabrook.
Okay. Man of the Water.
Man of the Water. I love it. You're on the starboard side. I'm on the port. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's been truly an honor. And your music is... I think you found your voice, because when I hear Brandon Seabrook music, it automatically puts a big light in my head. This is Brandon playing. I love it.
Oh, man.
And big love to your brother, too, on drums. Tell him he's not... totally scissored. You'll get back to playing with him.
I'll get back.
People, it's been the April 18th, 2018 edition of the Watch for Pedro show with special guest Brandon Seabrook. Keep your powder dry.